I've been thinking about a passage in the book of Hebrews that has to do with prayer. And I thought this morning as I left the house, maybe I'll say something tonight if opportunity arises on this that has been, you know, cooking in my heart. And then Susan says to me as we're driving along, I brought this along for you. I thought you might like this. And it wasn't, she didn't know anything about what I just said, or which passage. And here was a sermon by one of my favorite ministers on that very passage of Scripture. I listened to it. I was truly fed by it. I felt that God ministered to me. And so I thought, maybe that's the thing. But instead of speaking about prayer tonight, I feel that I should instead speak about a prayer, a request that I heard in this afternoon's prayer meeting. When someone behind me said, "Oh Lord, stretch our hearts. Later I went to that person and I said, "Now what did you mean when you prayed that? Stretch our hearts." We sang, "Just to be clay in the potter's hand." You know, you can stretch that clay. And the potter, of course, molds or makes what he wishes to do with that clay. He fashions it, but it's stretched if he so desires. And the Lord is the one who can stretch our hearts. And I was so interested in that prayer. I've been thinking about that too, not just since I heard that, but we've been reading in Colossians where the Apostle Paul writes about being filled with the fullness of God, being complete in Christ in whom all fullness dwells. A long, long time ago, I heard a man sing a song, and I guess it was not unfamiliar to me. We had sung it in that era. A rather well-known singer came to the church, and he had a list of songs that he sang, and one of them was this. It just intrigued me. The way my mind works, I enjoyed this particular song. It said, the chorus said, "How big is God?" Well, we know how big God is. We can't fathom how big he is, but we know he is infinitely big. But the song says, "How big is God? How great and wide his vast domain. To try to tell, these lips can only start. He's big enough to fill this mighty universe, yet small enough to live within my heart." Is that familiar to anyone? Or is that too old, you know? Some other old people. Good. Anyway, how big is God? How great and wide his vast domain. To try to tell, these lips can only start. He's big enough to rule this mighty universe, yet small enough to live within my heart. And that's good, right? Isn't it strange that I couldn't just leave it at that and enjoy the thought? No, I had to say, "Well, how big is my heart anyway?" You know, that was my thought, even as a kid. How big is a human heart? It's not this small. It can be way bigger than that. We're not talking about the organ, the muscle that beats in our chest, but we're talking about the heart. It can be pretty big, I thought. And yet, of course, it's not as great as God, who's infinite. God is everywhere. There's no place where God is not. The Bible teaches us that. God is infinite. God is a spirit. infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. God is great. I think God wants our hearts to grow. And that's why that prayer intrigued me. Lord, stretch my heart. Stretch our hearts. I think it was prayed that way for all of us here on these grounds at this time, that our hearts might be stretched. In connection with our looking into Colossians, I had read that Samuel Rutherford, who was a great saintly, godly minister in Scotland many years ago, made it his prayer, God, enlarge my mind that I might know you better. Enlarge my heart that I might receive more of your fullness. When I read that, I thought, wow, if Samuel Rutherford's mind and heart could be enlarged so that he could know God better than he did, and so that he could be filled to the measure with all the fullness of God, then I better get to praying that too. And that's a good prayer. Lord, enlarge me. I need to know you better. I want to know you. I want to love you. I want to serve you better. I want to be filled. It says there in Colossians 2, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. The Apostle Paul has been teaching the Colossian Christians about the uniqueness of Christ, that he is so great and glorious. And the reason that he is presenting Christ in this way is that teaching had come in to the church among the people that he felt was very dangerous. What was it? Well, we can tell from the way this epistle is written that people were being drawn away to a different form of doctrine or teaching. Apparently, there were those who said, what you learned from Epaphras, the gospel that Epaphras taught you, which was the gospel that he had heard from the Apostle Paul, the gospel of Christ, which is the only gospel. He speaks in another place in Galatians about another gospel, and then he says, which is not another. Another gospel, which is not another. There's only one gospel. The good news, only one gospel that saves. It's the good news about Christ. And in Colossae, apparently, there were teachers who said you must pay attention to emanations and forces that can help you to attain to a greater fullness than you could get through the simple gospel that Paul taught you. You must also keep these regulations. And you will know something more of spiritual fullness. And so Paul says, no, Christ's person is unique. He is the one in whom all fullness dwells. It pleased the Father that all fullness should dwell in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is greater than all. In fact, he is the head of all principality and power. There is no power, there is no force that is not under his authority and his dominion. So you must come to him and be true to him and exalt him and believe in him and stick to what we taught you and not to what the others are trying to bring in. In him is fullness. You are complete in him, and you can be filled with the fullness of God. And here in the second chapter, he speaks about the cross. We won't take the time to go in there. It's not just the uniqueness of his person, but the uniqueness of his work. And you must find your all in Christ. Christ is all and in all. That's what Paul was teaching the Colossian Christians. In the book of Ephesians, he talked about being filled with the fullness of God. Also, he prayed so earnestly for the Christians there that they might be filled, that they might understand and know the Lord, and that they might be filled with God's fullness. I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. That would mean that among all the wonderful and glorious things that God can do, he can enlarge our hearts. He wants us to have large hearts. That has to do with opening up to the knowledge of him and his marvelous love for us. We sang about it before. Deep as the sea, so boundless and free, his wonderful love for me. I pray that God would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. O Jesus, Samuel Rutherford said, enlarge my mind that I might know you. Enlarge my heart that I might possess you in greater fullness. Come. May the Holy Spirit fill us here at this camp. Lord, fill us. We need the Spirit of Christ. And Lord, you are here to bestow upon us a greater fullness. We pray that you will enlarge our hearts according to the riches. The riches, let us be strengthened according to the riches of your glory, strengthened by the power of your Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell within our hearts by faith. Give us more faith, Lord, that we might have more of you. Help us to seek you with all of our hearts. Stretch, the prayer was, stretch our hearts. And the sister said to me, you know, one of the ministers said, and she mentioned who it was, we ought to pray that prayer. We should pray that prayer, that God would come to us and fill us more of Jesus, that Christ may dwell in our hearts, and that we might be rooted and established in love. We might be able to understand and know. Think of knowing the love that passes knowledge. Now that's something to just stop and think about. To know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. To be filled with all the fullness of God. More about Jesus on his throne. Riches in glory, all his own. More of his kingdom's sure increase. More of his coming, Prince of Peace. God is great. Greater than all. And he has exalted Christ. We read, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. Every name that is named, anywhere and everywhere, in all time, Jesus is exalted far above all. And we're to know the fullness of God in Christ. That is his purpose for us. I suppose in Sunday school you've perhaps, anyway, heard this illustration of, you know, going down to the ocean and seeing how vast it is. I mean, it's so tremendous, and just staring at it and being amazed at, you know, how much water is there and just the vastness of it all. And you can put your jar into that ocean and have that jar filled up in a fraction of a second. And where I come from, it's the Atlantic, right? Atlantic. The Pacific's bigger. But there's the fullness of the ocean in your jar, right? And yet you don't contain the whole thing. But you do have, you're filled to the brim, you're filled to the measure with the fullness. I think it's probably something like that, except with this addition, that God wants us to open wide to him. He wants us to be enlarged. As I said, that has something to do with the love of God shed abroad in our hearts in such abundance. I think of the Apostle Paul in Corinthians. He was frustrated with the Corinthian Christians in 2 Corinthians, where he talks about how he has spoken so freely to them. He has opened his heart so wide to them. He has loved them, and he doesn't sense that love in return. And so he says, Oh, Corinthians, something like the Lord said about our camp. And you read that. Did you hear that word? Oh, that expresses the heart of God over this place. But oh, ye Corinthians, it's not good for you to be so closed up. It's not good. Be enlarged. Let your hearts respond to the message that we have brought to you about Jesus. Receive him and let your hearts be enlarged. Our hearts are open toward you. Our hearts are enlarged and he says you're just so straight and so tight. It's so frustrating. I wonder if the Lord ever feels that way about the way we respond to him when he opens his heart to us, and he has done that in giving us our Lord Jesus. He's given us heaven's best. He's given him to us to be our Savior, our fullness, our indwelling life and overcoming power, and everything that we need, the lover of our souls. And you know, we make a start, we go so far. Oh, how much there is for us in him. And how freely he has given himself for us and gives himself to us, and yet we're straitened, as it says, too often, so small. And that prayer this afternoon was also so heartfelt. I don't know if that word "oh" was used, but I still felt that, oh, Lord, stretch our hearts. So instead of speaking about the subject of prayer that was on my heart, I just wanted to lay that prayer that I heard this afternoon before you tonight. Oh, Lord, stretch my heart. Stretch our hearts. Help us to receive you in your fullness. Help us to know your love. Help us to respond to that love. Lord, I want to know you. Samuel Rutherford, I told you already when I read that, I just was, Samuel Rutherford needs to know the Lord. Well, so did the Apostle Paul. Oh, that I may know him. That I may know him. Made that his heart's desire, his life's goal, to know him. To know him in the power of his resurrection, in the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable to his death. He was going to press on. Press on. I have not received all there is to have from God. I don't count it. I don't claim perfection yet. And yet if we are perfect, we will be thus minded, he says. There is a perfection to a point in just having the attitude that the Apostle Paul had, and that holy press in our hearts. Now we could talk about this longer. And we could talk and talk and talk and talk and talk, but God has to do it. God has to do it just to be clay in the potter's hands. Oh Lord. Oh Lord, you take this little prayer and write it in my heart, I pray. I want to be enlarged. I want to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. I want to know you. I want to know something more because you give me of your Spirit so that I might know the things that are freely given to me of God. So I pray that I will know you better and that I will have more of you, Lord, more of you. More of you in my heart. May more fruit be born because your Spirit fills me. More of the fruit that honors God and pleases him and glorifies him. Oh Lord, we know that you have done so much for us. I think of, just in closing, I think of God speaking about his vineyard in the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah. He comes and he seeks fruit, and he doesn't find what he's looking for. And in that passage he says, what more could I have done for you? What more? In other words, I gave you the best. I tended you. I gave you my word. I watered you. I worked with you. What more could I have done for you? And I believe in this place we could really acknowledge the same thing. What more could I have done for you? God calls us to open our hearts wider to him and to let him do it for us. Lord, put that desire in me. I heard it expressed this afternoon. It just went deeply into my heart, and I felt impressed to share this prayer on this day. Stretch our hearts, Lord. Jesus, there is so much that you want to give us. You want us to know you in your fullness. You want us to be overwhelmed with your with your beauty, with your love, with your grace, with your holiness. Oh Lord, you want us to have strong desires like the Apostle Paul did, to know you in your fullness and to have all that you purchased for us. And so I pray that you'll bless us here, this period, this first period. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for those you brought to camp. As we began this meeting, toward the beginning, we heard that you bring people here, and you've brought us here, and you brought us here at this time to work in us in your own way. Make us willing for it, Lord, and not only willing for it, but make us want it more than anything else, I pray. Help us to want the fulfillment of your good pleasure within us in these days. For your name's sake and for your glory, we pray. Amen.